Fathers, are you loving your wife? Learn more today on Changed by Grace. Welcome to Changed by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Today is Father's Day, and on this special day, I want to give some reminders of what the Word of God says to fathers. Are you loving your wife? Are you loving your children? Well, let's begin our study today by looking at Ephesians chapter 5.
Amen. Well, as I shared at the beginning of our time this morning, that today is Father's Day. It is a very special day, and we do want to hear from our fathers as they share some things that maybe their dads passed on to them, things that they have learned from their fathers, things that they desire to instill into their children. And I'd like to even hear how they're doing that, because I know a lot of times we share things we want to do, and it's helpful if we can hear from each other. What are some things you are doing to reach that goal? You know, it's a lifelong thing. You know, even after our kids are grown up, we still invest into them. We still have things that we want to instill into their lives. And the influences, of course, hopefully are still great and meaningful. But we know as our children get older, they begin to get more independent. They begin to, the Lord allows, start their families. But before we get to that, there are a few things that I want to share with you, and I call these reminders for fathers. And to begin our time together, let me have you go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All of us are familiar with that passage, especially us husbands, because in this passage there are things there that are so convicting when it comes to the kind of relationship that we have with our families, most especially to our wives. But there are some things I do want to point out today. And like I said, I call these reminders, pointing out that these are things that are to be true about us dads, but most importantly about us husbands. Because listen, hopefully you're a husband before you're a dad. You know, we live in a culture where that's not always true. There are relationships that occur. There are things that happen. And a child is conceived in a union before there is marriage. And the perspective that I want to share, you know, it's here in Ephesians chapter 5, comes from the understanding that you are first a husband, that you are one who is seeking to be a certain type of man to your wife. And I know the passage that you're looking at, it's right in front of you in Ephesians 5, it's verse 25. But let me just tell you, first of all, the first reminder is that fathers are lovers. Okay, not just lovers of our children, but it starts in the very beginning where we're lovers of our wives. Look at that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, do what? Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Now that's pretty big right there. That's huge. Because when I read about love in the Bible, we're not talking about erotic kind of love, emotional kind of love here. The kind of love that gives you those emotional goosebumps. You know, that's there in the Bible too. You know, we like to have that feeling that comes along with it. I don't care too much about the song, but we still like to have acceptance. You know, and we sang just a few moments ago about how that we're accepted by God because of what Jesus did. We're accepted because he was rejected. And it's because of that that has opened up that door for us to be accepted in him. All of us like to be accepted. None of us like to be rejected. Even when we have to share hard truths with one another, we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to be pushed to the curve. But he says here, husbands, love your wives. It's possessive, your wife. This is the one whom God has given to you. This is the one who is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, as Adam said, speaking about Eve. And how are we to love our wives? Well, he defines it right there in the rest of the verse. He says, just as Christ also loved the church. Well, what kind of love was that? The rest of the verse. And gave himself up for her. Sacrificial love. This is love that is certainly undeserved. Does anybody deserve this kind of love? No? It's love that's not returned. It's love with no conditions. He doesn't say, husbands, love your wives if they love you. He didn't say, husbands, love your wives if they return that love. He just says, love your wives. Lay down your life for your wives. And if I could add to that, lay down your life for your kids too. And laying your life down, I mean, in the ultimate, yeah, I think we would do that, wouldn't we? Sure we would. We'd step in there and protect them. But what about in other things? Are we willing to die to self for? You know, I have had a habit for many years to walk back to my study, spend a lot of time back there, and a lot of time I missed being with my family because of that. And I've been a pastor for, you know, 24 plus years. Obviously, I have to study and prepare and things like that, but it does pull me away from my family. And now working, you know, a full-time job and pastoring and pretty much 7 days a week kind of thing. You grab the moments, and you make the most of those moments. I have come to the point in my life for the last probably couple years now of studying with everybody running around me, sitting on the couch, because I don't want to be locked away in my secret laboratory anymore. God has given me just as much insight sitting there on the couch with so many distractions than as if I'm sitting in the back with the distraction of silence. In fact, when they used to go off, I didn't like it. It messed me up. You go, you think you'd like the silence. But no, the problem was is that it wasn't noisy. I was used to the noise. And so they'd go off, and I'm thinking all the time about them being gone. And thinking about that I'd like to be with them, like to go hang out with them. At least when I was, you know, doing that, I'd come out at periodic times and visit with everybody, and we'd eat lunch together and things like that. But now it's, like I said, it's sitting on the couch. Now, a few times I have to go earth to dad, because if I'm engrossed in something, that I have tuned the world out at that moment. But we are to love our wives. You know, some of us come home, we flop down in front of the TV, and everything else goes into oblivion. Husbands, love your wives. Maybe there's some things around the house, Teresa, you're not hearing this, that you know, that she wants you to do, your wife wants you to do. Husbands, love your wives. Maybe you're tired and you've had a long day and a hard day, and she's had a tiring long day with the kids, and she wants to get out. Husbands, love your wives. Sacrifice yourself. Put aside those desires and things that tend to put you first. Look how he mentions in verse 26 and following, he says, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. And here's the kind of love that's purifying. You seek for the best for your wife. You seek to cleanse her with the word of God. You seek not to expose her to things that would lead her into sin. And then notice verse 28, and I think this really again highlights what he says in verse 25. Husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Now I think that Jesus is, you know, giving us here, you know, through Paul, all of the instruction that we need on how we're to love our wives. And I start right here because many times, in fact, I was thinking about this yesterday, when you have a special needs child, it's really easy for the household to become child-centered. Lou Priolo has a book on anger, and he talks about the dangers of a child-centered home. Spends a good time on that. I agree with what he writes in there, because many times what happens is that the home revolves around the child. And mom and dad don't have much of a relationship anymore. Well, what are you going to do when the children grow up and they're gone? They move out and they start having their own families. Mom and dad all those years haven't had much of a relationship because everything is centered around the children. That's the problem. You want to move as far away as you can from a child-centered home. And you say, well, how does that work with, you know, having a child that's disabled. Well, certainly that child is going to take from you, but mom and dad can still have that intimate relationship. Remember, fathers, you have to engage yourself in this way. And this, again, is not one-sided. This is multifaceted here. It's not just having these emotional feelings and that every now and then you pop out on the spot something totally unexpected to her and you tell her that you love her and you look her in the eyes and you seek to kind of get emotional there. But you know, the Bible talks about other types of love, and here it's the agape love, that sacrifice, that kind of love that God showed toward His redeemed, whom He would redeem by laying down His life for them. Or John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than a man lays down his life from his friends. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. There's also storge, which is another word for love, which is that old shoe kind of love. You know, you have those shoes that you've worn them for 20 years. You just won't throw them away. They're kind of like your favorites. They got holes in them. But they fit just fine. And you love them. But see, that's not the same thing we're talking about here. Husbands, your wives are not your old shoe. That's a pretty big command right there. That's some pretty big shoes to fill. Men, we'd have to admit we fail this constantly, don't we? Live in the guilt of failure for that. It's a hard command. By the way, just have to sneak this one in here. Titus chapter 2, it says, essentially for the wives to love their husbands. Basically tells them in Titus 2:4, here, the older women are encouraging the younger women, it says, to love their husbands, to love their children. The word is a different word than it's used here. But the word means husband lovers, children lovers. Some days it's hard to love your children in that way. When they have bounced from wall to wall, and they have tried you up and down and stretched you as thin as you can go. You know, my girls understand that. Every time they watch them for any extended period of time, they tell us the same thing. We're not having children. We found the best birth control was just to let people, you know, watch our kids. And watch anybody's kids for that matter, right? But this is the first reminder that you and I need to have, dads, is that we're married. We have a wife. We need to love our wives. And our children need to see us love our wives. I'm not talking about things that should be going on behind the doors and not out in the open. But I'm talking about, yeah, the sacrifice that you make for your wife. Make those sacrifices. Let your children see that. Do something that's really old school. Open the door for her when she's getting in the car. And don't leave until she's in the car. You know, don't sit there and go, click, click, open the door, she got her foot halfway in, and you're already out the driveway, you know. So open the door for her, and that will prevent that, right? Here's another one that I think it's a reminder for us, is that fathers are providers. Fathers are providers. I want to take you to that Titus passage that I was just mentioning, Titus chapter 2, and I'm just going to focus in on a phrase that you find there in verses 4 and 5, and I mentioned verse 4 because, well, actually, verse 3 is where it picks up. The older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, there's a lot there. We could spend hours on this, but let's just pull out this phrase here. Workers at home. What's that have to do with the husband providing? Well, this is freeing up the environment for her because she is to take care of the home. Now, I understand we live in a society, and it's even greater today with the way the economy is that mom and dad both work outside the home. In some cases, you can't help that, you know? And I think the ultimate here is if you can be in the home, then that's really the intention of Scripture. But again, that's not always the case. But if you are outside the home, you still have this going on. You still have to obey this, right? This word means, and it's one phrase in Greek, it's one word, it means to manage the home. Now, if you can manage a career and manage the home, And I got to call you a superwoman there, right there, you know, with all the things that are going on in the home. And I'm not saying, dads, we can't pick up and help out on some of these things. You say, well, I've never washed clothes before. My whites turn out as pinks. Well, get her in there with you to teach you how to separate those clothes, right? Men, at one time, we were bachelors. And one time, we maybe had to do our laundry if you lived out on your own at one point, right? You had to operate that machine other than having to flip it over and work on something on it and clog a hose. You know, we keep finding dirt and socks in the hose that pulls the drain, draining everything. So there are other times. Or how about washing the dish? You say, well, I have a dishwasher. Well, you got to load it. You can get in there and load it. Put on a sermon and start going at it. You know, there's so many things you can do. Pull out the vacuum cleaner. Pull out the broom. You know, mow the yard. My wife actually likes to mow the yard. I mean, she loves it. That's kind of her time. But I also have to pay attention to, you know, this might not be a good time for her. And get out there and mow it too. Now, she didn't like me to mow because, you know, a weed and a plant kind of look the same to me sometimes. You know, and she'll point it out ahead of time saying, you know, stay away from that tree, stay away from this one. And last few times I did it, she said, I actually did a good job. I only knocked down one plant. But, you know, either way, whether your wife works or not, you are ultimately the provider. Don't you stay home and send her out to work. You know what I mean? You are the provider. This, like I said, frees it up. If you're going to love your wife as you love yourself, then you take care of the family. Right? Again, I am not ignoring the situation that we have going on today with our economy and jobs are hard to find. You know, yours truly right here is... had his share of looking for other jobs, and I'm thankful that this past 10-11 months I've been given an opportunity to work in a school, and it's been a great environment, a great opportunity, and a great means of provision, you know, and to be able to be here, and us in the Lord's will continuing as a church through all the trials that we've been through as a church. The Lord has allowed us to continue, and so the Lord has provided. But I know that there are times when the home feels so much stress and my wife will say, I'm going to get a job. And I always answer with the same question, how? And I'm not questioning her skills or her ability because she's got a lot of skills. I'm questioning how with our children. We have a nursing baby. We have a special needs child. How? Very difficult. Very difficult. And my girls will attest for the last 2 days of taking care of our boys that they will take advantage of you, won't they? One time out of 2 days they ate actually real food, the rest was the other stuff, yeah. And they cried for the other stuff. So. But when mom and dad are there, you know, they can cry all they want, but they know it'll end up in a spanking. They don't stop. Yeah. Something about dad spanking, right? But guys, listen, God has charged us with be lovers of our wives, our children. We're charged with being providers. Let me show you a third one. We're also protectors. Protectors. Whether it's Smith & Wesson, or whether it's Louisville Slugger, whatever it is, I mean, you lock your doors, right? But every now and then, homes are breached. And I know every one of us in here, men, would protect our families. Because we don't want anything to happen to them. Same in any other situation. You know, you don't send your wives out and your children in compromising situations because you want to protect them. Right? You see someone look the wrong way at them, you're looking back with a really, you know, you better turn that eye another direction, guy, kind of look. You know what I mean? You know, and the possessiveness comes in. You put your arm around her. She's mine. And don't you forget it. See this? This does mean something. I wear it for a reason. But you're a protector. And one of the things I was thinking about over in Genesis chapter 14, after Lot and his family and all were taken by those kings, Abraham took off after them, didn't he? It tells us in verse 16 that he brought back all the goods, all, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. Or how about David in his situation when their camp was raided while they were out fighting war and all the women, the children, their wives were taken. And David and his men were just wrenched over that, and they took off after them, and they got back their wives and their children. I mean, my heart goes out to those families that have, husbands have their wives kidnapped or their children kidnapped. Every now and then you're watching a show on TV and you'll see something pop up saying, we're looking for this child. We're looking for this woman. This is someone's wife. This is someone's daughter. We're protectors. Not only do we love our wives and our children, not only do we provide for them, but we also protect them. And last, I would say that fathers are also teachers. Teachers. Whether you realize it or not, you are a teacher. We all are teachers, aren't we? People look at our lives, they model what we do, they model what we exhibit in front of them. But specifically, we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we are to teach diligently our sons and talk of them, that is the law of God, when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. This is not just, quote, devotional time. This is everyday talk. Yeah, this is the times when you say to your children that are acting up, Jesus really doesn't like this kind of behavior. Or Jesus loves what you just did right now. How you shared your toy, with someone. Or it's everyday talk. And it's not just with your kids, it's with your wife. Wives with your husbands. Everyday talk. Well, again, these are some things that we need to be reminded about. And that's what I wanted to do in this short time for myself, is to share that. And let me just say something about my dad. My dad's still living. He's fixing to be 80 years old. He told me something the other day that has never left my mind, because the 9A project is fixing to widen by their house, and it's going to take their house this time. And he's 80 years old, okay? But they're pretty excited about it. But they're also disagreeable as to what they're going to do. My dad wants to go build a house. My mom's going, no, I don't want to go build a house. Let's just move into a house already built. We're up in age. We don't need to go through all the headache that would accompany building a house. And I actually would agree with that. But it doesn't matter what I agree with. That's their decision. But he told me when he was telling me about that, he said, I'm not going to be around much longer. Something about that phrase that kind of sticks with you. You know what I mean? Not going to be around much longer. Everybody in here have their parents still living, or have you lost a parent? Everybody has their parents? Okay. And, I dread the day when that happens. I think about it all the time. My dad's had some close calls. He's had, issues with his heart. He's had angioplasty. He's had all that stuff. He's had bypass surgeries. And, and one point we lived right behind them, and I remember an issue that came up, and boom, I was in that house. No time. We've had other times since being here. They only live about 5 miles from us, so that's great. But you always think of something happening with your family and you're far away. The girls didn't like this, or at least Kara didn't. I'm telling her when we left, here's our will, here's our insurance. And she's going, Dad. I said, but you got to know. Got to know all this stuff, right? Here's where everything's at. Guys, if you haven't done a will, do one. What's going to happen if you and Mom, Lord Jesus, decides to take you and your child is left? Who do you want to raise your child? And what about what you own? Don't let the court decide that. You decide that. Because if you don't have a will, the courts will decide if Mom and Dad's gone. Of course, they'll place the child most likely with a family member, but you just got to think ahead. Believe it or not, some of you know this, I used to work for a funeral home. Business is kind of dead, but yeah. So, hardest job in the world, I'll tell you that right now. Who wants to talk about dying? Who wants to look at that kind of stuff? And I'd go sit down with a family, and I have a flip chart with caskets. Who wants to look at that? There's a movie out called Walking Across Egypt. Has anybody seen it besides my family? Well, it's about this older lady, and she's thinking about her dying. And in the movie, she's always picking out what she wants to wear in a casket. And at one scene, she goes to a funeral home, and she's looking at caskets, okay? And she likes this one and everything, and the guy's talking to her and tells her about the one that's, made out of a certain metal. And she goes, what's so spectacular about that? And he says, well, it won't rust. And she says, well, I don't want to rust. And there, believe it or not, there is the same material that they use to make some of these cars, they use to make these caskets, and they don't rust. But like you say, you're in the grave. You don't care about that. And by the way, all the expensive stuff's in the beginning of the room, the cheaper stuff's in the back, and that's where you want to go. But see, when you're going through taking care of a situation like this with a loved one, you're emotional wreck. And the last thing you're thinking about is doing all that shopping stuff. You're just, Daddy would like this, Mama would like this, and or whatever. It's called emotional overspending. And that was my job, was to make sure people didn't do that, by getting them to plan ahead. It's like what we talked about last week. We do things that are preventative, right? We do things that prepare us to plan ahead. And I think, of course, the most important preparation is your soul. Where's your soul going to be when you die? Not necessarily your body. But, I have, when I was doing that kind of work, took care of that for my parents. They had cemetery plots up in Alabama. When I was doing the funeral home business, I didn't realize then, and they didn't either, that that's doubling your cost if you live here in Jacksonville and you're going to be buried in another city because you're dealing with two funeral homes, and they're not cheap. And so we took care of things like that. Not only that, but just, I think of things what my dad's passed on to me, my parents have passed on to me. One thing that I use all the time that my dad said to me, he said, don't burn your bridges, you may have to cross back over them.
What kind of legacy are you leaving your children? You've been listening today to a Father's Day Reminder, and it's made available on one full-length audio CD here at Change by Grace. To request your copy, call us at 904-651-3351. You can also go to our website at www.changedbygrace and download the free MP3. There on our website, you'll find many messages like this one that will help you in your Christian walk. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford. I do want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope that you enjoy your Father's Day together with your family, and that you'll come back next time as we study together the Word of God. Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I would like to invite you to our 11 o'clock service this morning at Eastport Baptist Church. We're located at 1322 Eastport Road in Ocean Way. We are biblical, expository, and reformed. So I hope that you'll join us and worship with us together. I hope to see you then.